You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi, I'm Shovik Das.
I'm Leslie DeMonte.
And I'm Deepti Ahuja. You're listening to Mint Etc.
A podcast where we will talk about important developments in technology and how they will transform our lives, work and play as we know it.
Welcome to Tech Cetera, your favorite tech podcast, which, by the way, for this week is no longer just a tech podcast. It's also a geeky, nerdy, sciencey podcast, whatever way you want to call it. Because this week we are discussing multiverses. Multiverses. I don't know why I'm saying it so many times. I guess that'll be edited out anyway, but...
No, Shovik, I'm not going to edit this out. This remains.
We're discussing how multiple universes exist within one realm of space. And also we're discussing how parallel universes exist and how we might exist in different versions of our own selves in different universes. And the entire idea of... whether multiverses and parallel universes actually exist, whether they can be proven by science, whether we are like, you know, super villains in another world who don't really record podcasts, whether, you know, there are superheroes in another world. Of course, the superhero comics from Marvel and DC have time and again popularized such ideas. And of course, my co-hosts Leslie and Deepti have a lot to say about this topic. But before getting into these details, yes, Leslie is nodding at me right now. But before getting into all of that, just to reaffirm to our listeners, this episode isn't based off first-hand research. This episode, in fact, is based off our interest in this particular topic. Deepti is a person who watches a lot of a diverse range of content, and some of them ranging into science fiction as well. Is there some echo?
Nahi.
Acha. Because I can hear your voice twice. Anyway.
Now?
Right now is fine, but beech mein.
Crazy.
The multiverse Deepti is also speaking. Yeah. No,
she
anyway.
Ye
multiverse Deepti ko bhi ghusa dena podcast edit mein. Which is something that she's interested in. Leslie, in fact, has been writing on science and technology for multiple decades now. And I'm also an amateur enthusiast in this sector, where I have also been reporting on science and tech for a while. So all of that is where we come from, our interest in this subject. And this just came across as a fun idea that we should probably speak with, because last time around we were talking about whether AI will take us into a different realm, whether it's going to change our lives as we know them, as we know it. And that's why we landed up here. Leslie, I probably want to start with you. I was just, recently reading this particular speed reading this book called The Hidden Reality by Brian Greene, where he speaks about the idea that multiple universes have to exist, and not only do they exist, they are also constantly evolving, and they are also constantly thriving in their own ecosystem, and life in these multiple universes could exist in a wide range of formats. Life would probably be different from what we know it. So how do you look at this particular area?
I mean, see, at this point in time, everything is a hypothesis. I know that Brian Greene and Brian Cox also, for that matter of fact, have been saying that this is an inevitability, given the way the universe is structured. But I don't think everybody agrees with it. I think the important thing here out is to make some concepts clear. So if you look at the multiverse, what do you mean by a multiverse? It means many universes. Simple. As simple to understand.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, having said that, the multiverse theory or the many universe theory just suggests basically that our universe is one of the billions of universes that will probably be out there and existing in parallel, which is why we say parallel universes also. Okay, so that's one way of understanding that these universes exist parallel to each other. That's one way of looking at it. But you know, this concept, we may find it hard to wrap our head around it. But then at the same time, if we understand, when you look at even till the 18th century, half of the people, they didn't even understand that there is something called an extra solar system beyond Earth. Most people would have gone with, you know, born and died with the idea that the sun is the center of the Earth. Earth is the center of the universe. Yes. Then we suddenly realized that, you know, the sun was the, that we actually move around the sun. So it's important to understand that as science progresses, as science sheds more light on how the universe is constructed, ideas will keep on changing. Nothing is sacrosanct in science. That is the beauty about it. Important to realize in this particular thing is we are planet Earth, part of one solar system, part of one galaxy. There are billions of galaxies and it's part of one universe. And the universe is expanding, not receding. These are important concepts to understand.
Yeah.
Then having said that, what a section of scientists are saying that when we thought about the origin in cosmology, what we learned was that the Big Bang, that the world came out of the Big Bang. There was a Big Bang.
Yes.
It happened. All the, you know, everything shot up. And now whether if in Christianity it says 7 days, they also have a time for that. In other religions, they have something. Now religion itself is a hypothesis.
Let's not get there, Leslie.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just drawing a parallel between multiverses and
religion.
So at that
point, I think it's also kind of important to touch upon Big Bang part, because that's very crucial to the formation of the multiverse.
Yeah, so if you look at the Big Bang, not everybody believes in the Big Bang. Okay,
right.
Yeah.
Even if you look at the Stephen Hawking's book, if you read Stephen Hawking's
yes.
book, he says that, you know, this idea that the world could have been created out of nothingness is okay. We should be okay with these ideas at any given point in time, and that there could be multiple universes that kept on clashing against each other, and there are Big Bangs happening every millisecond, or we do not even we just don't understand, you know, these concepts. And in India itself, I am not sure of how many of our listeners would have heard of the name Jayant Nagarlekar. He was a person who is in Pune, and he is an Indian astrophysicist and an emeritus professor at the Inter-University Center for Astronomy and Astrophysics. He developed with Sir Fred Hoyle, the conformal gravity theory known as the Hoyle-Nagarlekar theory. And he's one of the few cosmologists in the world who does not agree on the Big Bang. I remember in 2015, I had interviewed him. I went to Pune. I spent a lot of time with him to understand why he does not believe in the universe. So his point is...
I was, in fact, just going to ask you, what is the sort of... I mean, cosmologists not agreeing on the Big Bang theory sounds different from...
Not everybody agrees that the world would have been created from the Big Bang. In fact, actually, if you get into the multiverse theory, you will again have a problem with the Big Bang theory. So... The point is, because the explanation that some of these cosmologists are asking, that today you have the age of the universe being declared as something like 13.7 billion years or 14 billion years, whatever number you want to go by. But if you find tomorrow, you discover a star that is, say, 20 billion years old, what will you do? Are you going to say that the star is older than the age of the universe, or you start expanding the age of the universe? You'll start manipulating that. So the theory that Jayant Nagarlekar, who also popularized science, he is the equivalent of, say, a Neil deGrasse or the Brian Cox, if you want to understand. So for people to explain science, I mean, there's no better person than Jayant Nadlikar. And I would recommend that our readers read up a lot about, you know, S. Chandrasekhar, the Chandrasekhar limit on neutron stars, C.V. Raman that we have. We have some amazing scientists in India who have actually, you know, contributed globally. But the important part is that Jayant Nadlikar believes in what is known as the quasi-steady state theory, which simply means that there is no beginning or no end to the universe. So in anybody familiar with, Indian concepts will call of the Anadi Ananta.
Yes. Yes.
So that would be a closest description. So Big Bang is not sacrosanct. There could be multiple Big Bang, there could be multiple universes, and going from one universe to another universe, you will have a black hole and the wormhole. So these are the concepts you want to think. I'm leaving it at this, and then
But I was in fact just going to bring this topic back to a slightly less science driven and more pop culture driven area. Deepthi, probably you can weigh in on this. Pretty much every superhero worth their salt has an evil alter ego and in a parallel universe. They have to have. There has to be an evil Batman who's out
even
to kill.
Even when it is Rick and Morty, be... man. Even with Rick and Morty, Rick has...
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Rick and Morty has... In fact, Rick and Morty's take on the parallel universe was much celebrated, in fact, in the pop culture space. How do you view this? Let's keep some of our greatest scientists at bay for a little while and speak of DC and Marvel and all of these guys. Do you think...
Before Deepthi says anything, I just want to say you don't need to keep scientists away from this.
Yeah.
Let's keep them seated within this hall.
So if you look at the movie Interstellar, I think one of the scientists who contributed it was Kip Thorne.
Leslie
is one of the leading astrophysicists in the world today.
No, absolutely. And in fact, some of the discussions around how DC has portrayed its multiverse has also been much debated in the scientific community.
Exactly. Where some people have, in fact... Every sci-fi movie that you have.
Yes, that is very true. Basically. So we'll have them seated within our hall while having Deepthi speak on what she feels about the existence of a multiverse, Deepthi, in another world interfering with our podcast.
I was about to begin with Interstellar. Thank you, Leslie, for taking.
We've stolen your intro.
Yeah, totally. No, but my understanding of multiverse or parallel universes, everything, it has come from science fiction. It is not something that, you know, I would read about, in a scientific journal, until and unless I'm really keen on finding out what it's all about.
Of course.
That's how, you know, your initiation is into science through cinema, through content, through, different series that you've heard. Maybe someone hears this episode and actually goes and inquires, finds out, goes out and seeks these scientific journals. So it's a very good, way in which you can step into this world. Try and understand, make meaning of different things. But I would also say that when DC and Marvel actually started creating these comic books and, you know, they started creating these series, back then things were not very hunky-dory. Like, I mean, there were issues, there was violence and as it is today, but this was a way of escapism. Right. From as much as I understand, this was a way of escapism. So for me, anything multiverse in any of, content related things, series, I think it's a form of escapism because it's philosophical more than anything else, because you might not want to. You know, you might not like your life in this. And it's okay to imagine. And when you imagine, you also open up to different possibilities. It's easier to sort of, you know, digest your own reality and, you know, it becomes less overwhelming. and maybe greater, better things come out of it. Maybe you come up with a solution that you couldn't have otherwise. You know, when you imagine yourself in a different universe, maybe you come up with a better solution to your problems right now, which probably you won't have been able to do it sitting where you're at because it's so overwhelming. So that's my take in terms of multiverses. I think it's more philosophical than anything else. And like Leslie said, you can't really prove anything anyway. It's all theoretical. So
you know, that's a very interesting. Have you seen this show called Manifest?
No. Tell me about it.
It made a lot of noise.
My playlist. Tell me.
The principle is very simple. There's an aircraft that takes off sometime in the 1980s.
Yeah.
And it lands back where it's supposed to land sometime in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Now, in between this, the aircraft has mysteriously disappeared. The people have been announced dead. And the people in the aircraft only experienced they're the same age. They experienced a sharp turbulence for about 5 minutes while being in the flight.
Yeah.
And they land and they're surprised because there are people who've come to them and, you know, someone's child has become of the same age as theirs.
Right.
And they're all astounded. So the entire show deals with what could be. I think one of the things that I did like about Manifest, which a lot of people didn't like, is how it left the idea of the multiverse or multiple universes or multiple parallel possibilities open.
Yeah.
That, you know, it could have. They've gone into bizarre, outlandish things also, like an alien invasion and so on. But they've also suggested that there was, you know, they might have gone through a portal which exists between on the space-time plane, and they traveled to another portal for 5 minutes and came back, and the aircraft, which was not supposed to enter that portal, went on that trajectory by mistake.
Yeah.
And ended up traversing through 20 years of time within 3 minutes. So there are these kind of shows which does raise the intrigue. It's very interesting to, I think as humans, it's very interesting for us to try and understand, you know, what could be in another world.
Yeah.
I think many of us spend a long time wondering, you know, oh, what if I had done engineering back in college? This is, of course, I'm talking about myself.
Strangely, Shovik, even in terms of, you know, different kinds of mythologies across the world, the concept of having multiple universes sort of exists, whether you look at it from a Hindu perspective or a Greek perspective or wherever. In fact, if you remember the
first part,
the Dark World, they were talking about like these nine realms that kind of stack up at once at some point in the, you know, like in a lifetime or whatever of the universe. And then so things happen, right? And so they diverge. Right. And so they took, I think, a little bit from the scientific theories, but the main source of that, you know, of that content, of that piece of cinema is the Greek mythology more than anything else. So we've been wondering this for years, for ages.
In this particular thing, I think it's Celtic mythology, if I'm not mistaken. So
Tell us more. How is it different?
No, Asgardians and all that kind of stuff, the nine realms and all, I think it's more to do with Celtic mythology. So
I'm sorry. And Greek is different. My bad. Of course, this Deepthi should be sorry. And so should Leslie, because Thor and Ragnarok are neither Greek nor Celtic. These concepts come from Norse mythology. Aur ab aage badhte hue.
Yeah, and the interesting part is, it's a question as to what opens up the door to the nine realms. It's Bifrost.
Yes.
Okay. Now, just stay with me. The Bifrost is a bridge. It's a dimensional, energy-dimensional bridge, like a funnel, or you compared to a tornado, where you know you
portal.
Heimdall puts the sword inside the Bifrost.
Correct.
It opens up the Bifrost bridge. It's known as Bifrost. It's not called a bridge, but just think about it. For our listeners, it's important to understand that this is the Einstein-Rosen bridge.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Now, of course, Einstein, everybody has heard about the name. Okay. But Who's the other person? Do you all know that?
No, tell us.
Yeah, so that is what is important, that this concept was somewhere in 1935. So you had Einstein, Albert Einstein, and Nathan Rosen, who used the theory of general relativity to elaborate on this idea. So proposing the existence of bridges through space-time. So if you see, when you talk about space-time, it's considered, I mean, the thing that we keep on talking about is it's a fabric.
Yeah.
So, fabric of space-time. Why do they say a fabric? That anything that is heavy or a mass, whether it is a star, whether it's a planet, whether you put it on that and it bends it, or it slightly bends or distorts the shape of the fabric.
Right. Yes.
That is what it is. So the bridge itself is that. So it's called the Einstein-Rosen bridge. These bridges connect two different points in space.
On the space-time fabric, yes.
That reduces travel time and distance.
That'd be so cool.
Which has, I think, been the entire theoretical proposal that time travel should be possible, because you go through such portals within the space-time fabric.
One part is time travel, but very interesting, if you have watched, like, since you are talking about movies and pop culture, I think, you know, the earlier ones was, I was trying to recollect which movies were there. Since I loved martial arts, I remember this movie with Jet Li, 2001, somewhere in that 2001. Wow. It was called The One.
The One.
Yeah, the one.
I have not seen
this. The concept was very simple. It's a rogue multiverse agent. It's played by Jet Li. Okay. And he goes on a manhunt for alternate versions of himself, the doppelgangers, within other universes.
Right.
Okay. And moment he kills one agent from another universe, he becomes stronger. And only the last version of himself, that is played by one of these LAPD cops, that stops the crusade before he becomes the one. Okay. Now, my only problem with this particular concept, which I could not get an answer at that point in time, is in a doppelganger thing or multi-universes, it's matter versus, that is considered to be antimatter. So matter and antimatter don't interact generally. If matter comes in touch with antimatter, it's the end of it.
Correct.
Which is why, this is why when our universe also was created, that balance was struck apparently in such a beautiful kind of balance that we don't even understand how it happened, that there was enough of matter and enough of antimatter, and that's how the universe was created. It's too puzzling. It's very difficult to wrap your head around it. But a movie that has happened, I mean, more recent one, which our listeners can relate to, is Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, or Spider-Man No Way Home,
or the Loki series that has just...
Or even Inception and all those mad movies where, you know...
But even if you...
really realize that you're going into different multiverses, you're coming out of different ones, you're getting into a mirror projection, you're going... What is that? I mean, so... That means these are like... And these are not concepts that... I mean, I know that you refer to it as escapism, but think about it. All these concepts are already there. You know, they have been around for almost like more than a century. It's nothing new.
Right.
Teleportation, for that matter of fact. So many movies on teleportation. Those theories have existed. Sci-fi has brought it to life.
Yeah.
And then these have to be proven in the lab, because that is the problem with our laws of physics and the laws of physics at the subatomic level.
Okay, so I have a serious question now. Like, where are we at in terms of proving anything? Anything at all? Kuch nahi, nada, nothing?
Look, I think one of the things that cosmologists do say consistently is that based on what we understand of physics today, it's difficult to say that at some point of time in the future, we will find proof that substantiates our hypothesis of the multiverse or the parallel universe. And that is based on our understanding of the universe today. Now, whether, of course, I mean, 50 years down the line, how our understanding of matter and space evolves. There's this very popular and famous saying that, you know, science reaches the very edge of the universe, and we always try to peer beyond what is at the very edge of the universe to see if there's anything else.
Right.
Whether there's anything else, we'll never know. Because if we find that anything else, then we'll go to the edge of that and try to peer beyond that.
No, so I would look at it a little differently, Shavik. I wouldn't say that we don't know anything or we don't. We know a lot. We know a lot.
But yeah.
No, no. So I'm saying, so it's like this. We, the scientists are not going to, jump to that last level of saying, so there's no, I mean, see, what happens is the moment any scientist tomorrow says that, you know, multiverses exist.
Yes.
Then the problem is other scientists have to replicate that experiment in the labs. That's how science works.
Science, yes.
So you have to observe. See, they are observing the phenomena. They know that there is something that is leading, and they form a hypothesis. This is how science is done.
Yes.
But that hypothesis has to be replicated by other things. You say, okay, this is my hypothesis. Now I need to test my hypothesis. When you test your hypothesis, you say, okay, these are my results. Now I'm convinced that a multiverse exists. The point is, then you have to throw it open to peer-to-peer review. And that is where the issue is. In a peer-to-peer review, other scientists will say, no, your hypothesis and your test results do not stand the test of time. They cannot be replicated in a lab. We don't understand. Let me give you a simple example. When recently they said that there is a superconducting material that can work at room temperature. Remember K9?
Yes. It created a lot of hype.
Yeah,
and everybody got super excited.
That would have changed the world of bullet trains where you could have...
I remember...
You could have created maglevs for magnetic levitation at room temperature. You don't have superconductivity. So imagine.
In fact, Sam Altman had tweeted at that time saying that if this really turns out to be true, our world is changing forever.
Exactly, but that did not hold true because other guys could not replicate the results. So this is where we are. We have found a lot. So okay, understand one thing: as our laws of physics apply to our universe. Okay,
yes,
and not
the most
to our universe,
part.
More to our solar system, our galaxy. We don't even know how to operate because we have not traveled there. So the moment you travel outside our galaxy, you have a fair understanding of how your things will work. But there are certain things like we, in our visible universe, we understand the laws of physics. We don't understand dark matter. We don't understand dark energy. Dark matter... I think they have put a percentage to it, something like 25-27% or something. And dark energy has been put
28%.
Around, I mean, these are like any percentages. But if you look at what is dark matter, you will just say, okay, fine, that dark matter is something that makes up about 25-27% of the cosmos, would include several kinds of, you know, yet unidentified types of particles that rarely interact with normal matter. Okay, and dark energy is worse because dark energy, you don't understand anything. So you'll say, okay, fine, we don't understand because you're only talking about your visible universe and that's only 5% or so. Okay, so that is a very difficult. So at the subatomic level, we understand that particles interact with each other, okay, and they don't have to be in the same place. So they will not, many particles can react with, interact with each other, despite not being in the same place or same universe for that matter of fact.
Right.
But till you observe it, till you measure it, when you measure it, it stops. So at the subatomic level, your laws of physics anyway disintegrate to a very great extent. So just imagine in multiple universes, what's going to happen.
Yeah. And there's also the idea, I'll just start closing today's episode with that. The idea... has remained consistent that, like you also mentioned, that our physics holds true for our world. Our laws of science holds true for our world. How the same laws of science would work and affect a parallel universe.
Guys, can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, that is something that scientists have, kept wide open for discussion. In fact, I remember, I think sometime recently, Max Tegmark of MIT had spoken about that multiverses would have multiple levels. And we are at the level one of our universe based on our own definition. And each different levels of universe traverse through different levels on the space-time fabric. which I found to be a very fascinating theory. But with that, I'll start closing with the one thing that I think has been probably the most popular in this entire multiple universe and time travel theory. We'll start closing with the idea of the black hole. We'll start closing with the idea and concept of the black hole. Leslie, black holes, of course, dead stars, and the fact that they are massive pulls and forces of gravity which bend the space-time fabric and could therefore create like this wormhole which can link through from one point of time to another has been the sort of general accepted theory of how we can travel between multiple points in time and therefore multiple universes. Do you think probably our lifetime is probably a stretch, but if I may say so, do you think in our lifetime we might be able to witness further research into black holes?
Oh, yes, yes, very much, very much. In fact, all the kind of study of gravitational waves, the cosmic wave background that we have, the CMW, all these things are pointing out to a lot of stuff. Black holes, I mean, they're discovering that there are a lot of black holes, many of them much, much bigger than our sun also. So you yes. have a lot of black holes that are existing, and I think there are two types of black holes. There's something called primordial black holes also. As the word itself suggests, they already exist, very close to when the universe started. So we don't, and there's one theory which now is going to zap you, that is that our universe actually exists within a black hole. Even that's a theory. So just try to think about it. That means you're already...
Right.
Yeah, that our universe is actually sitting in a black hole. So you cannot dismiss them as crazy theories, because there is also a theory that your entire universe is an algorithm. Because when you remember, I just referred to this, that at the subatomic level, your laws of physics are very different, where a particle can exist in multiple states. So light can be a wave and a particle also. Mm. Unless you measure the state, you don't, it does not. So when you measure it, our listeners will always be able to relate to it with the double slit experiment that was done.
Right.
Where there were two slits and light was passed to it. When people were observing it, they could see it as a pattern. But they realized that they had put when they realized that there were cameras inside, they realized that no, these were not straight beams of light that were there. They were all scattered. So
yeah.
The double slit experiment actually showed that these things do exist. So the universe is magic. The universe is there. We do not know whether we're sitting in a black hole or whether
we might also be sitting in a simulation. That's also been an idea
yes.
that we exist
we can
within a simulation.
On this.
Which is a mind-blowing theory.
It's not really a mind-blowing theory, because it could be an AI algorithm. It's an AI algorithm that's actually dealing with it. And these theories are also floating around. Now, if you find the multiverse plausible, there could be... it requires a stretch of imagination in certain places. But for the multiverse, addressing Deepthi's earlier queries, a lot of research has been done. So, definitely, I would say... that final stage, as I said, science has not been able to take it, because that will be open to peer-to-peer review. But tremendous amount of research has gone on black holes. Now, only problem with the multiverse theory is, listeners can read up on that later, is that at the way when the Big Bang was, at least the theory of Big Bang, when we spoke about it, we spoke about the cosmic microwave background radiation. Okay, that is one of the imprints that leaves it, where a light leaves an imprint kind of stuff on the universe. Those kind of imprints are not found with the multiverses. So if there were multiverses and multiple Big Bangs, they have not found any evidence as such. So that they have to have something to go by.
Right.
I guess we will get there in time, whether it will happen or not. Our lifetime, I don't know.
But then, as of now, we have like one lifetime, right? Like,
well, we are too small, you know, to even discuss this. In the age of the universe, as of now, the known age of the universe is about 13.7 to 14 billion years. What are we talking about? We are human species does not even go beyond 125.
Like the ant.
No, I wouldn't say ant, but yeah, we just think about the enormity.
True.
Yes.
Agreed.
And with that it's time to close out our discussion of the multiverse. And while closing, I just leave our listeners with one particular note. We were just talking about the simulation theory and how we could be like, you know, playable characters of a video game that AI algorithms somewhere are controlling. There is a very interesting movie called Doodlebug. In fact, Deepthi probably knows about it. Doodlebug was Christopher Nolan's, I think, graduation film or one of the first films. Everyone should watch that film. It takes 2.5 minutes of your life. And it probably speaks a lot and probably sums up our discussion on the multiverse and the simulation universe theory and so on. Probably in a very scary way, in some ways. I remember when we first saw Doodlebug, some people called it beautiful, some people called it scary, and some people called it absolute rubbish. So I think just like how discussions on time travel and the parallel universe theory also polarizes people, it's Doodlebug which probably sums up this discussion in the best possible way. And with that, we'll sum up our discussion on the multiverse. I'm just curious, Deepthi, in a parallel universe, would your rabbit R1 assistant still exist?
Please go away. Please go away, Shovik.
Parallel universe, you may actually be able to afford it. Never know.
But no, episode
we have now. We have now gone into uncharted territories with that one. And on that note, it's time to end. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, if you enjoyed what we spoke about, please do write to us. We'd particularly love it if you write to us on this particular episode and tell us about what you feel about these really existential questions. But on that note, it's time to end. Thank you, Leslie. Thank you, Deepthi. Thank you to all our listeners for tuning in. That's it. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
So folks, that's it for this episode. You are listening to Mint Etc. You can reach out to us on LinkedIn if you have any questions. Our handles are in the description.
This episode was produced by me, Deepthi Ahuja. It was edited by Amrinder Singh. Catch you next week.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HD Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.